Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I want to share just briefly with you this morning something that was life-changing to me, and I think in the time that we're living right now is extremely important for all believers to understand, and that is how to hear and follow the voice of God. How to hear and follow the voice of God. If I look back over my life and serving God now 45 plus years, one of the most important truths from God's Word that I discovered and began to apply in my life is how to hear God's voice, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, as one man said, is a genius. And if you'll listen to him, he'll make you look like a genius. We know that God wants to speak to us and guide us and lead us. But as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm just going to quote some of these, the ones that we get to, we'll put on the screen. There are many voices in the world. Many. That was 2,000 years ago. Now we have multiplied more and more and more because of technology, everything that we have available to us today. And all of them, he said, have a meaning, every voice. So there's the voice of culture. There's the voice of education. There's the voice of science. There's the voice of reason. There's the voice of the world system. All of these voices are coming to us, and we have to discern what God's voice is. God's voice is the truth concerning your life and everything that you need to know concerning your life. And when it comes to life, we understand that God is concerned not just about ministry we call ministry or full-time service of God, but he's concerned about every area of life. And I encourage young people to pursue a career. If God has placed something on their heart, pursue that. You know, many times we read the writings of Paul, and Paul many times said to the Corinthian church, I worked to show you or to give you an example. And it was interesting in that period of time, the Corinthian church said that if you're a true apostle, you would receive offerings. And Paul did the exact opposite to give them an example to affect the community, because if people were working in that community, it affected the economy and the church, and everything grew and prospered. And so it was interesting that Paul said, I did this as an example. So some people say he worked to support his ministry, but actually his working was a witness and his ministry was a witness. I like that. Whatever you do, you are witnessing for God. Whatever occupation, we have a young lady in our church who wants to be a veterinary. I said, praise the Lord. Pursue that. Go after that. That's a mission field. Every occupation is a service to God. And so we have to understand that. So in life, we want to hear the voice of God. God is interested in who you marry. A couple of grunts and one groan. If you're already married, it's okay. Like one man said, you know, marriage is like a record. You know, you start, you know, it's a new deal. And then he said a little bit later, it becomes an ordeal. And then they start looking for a new deal, but God says no deal. Amen. There is a reason that the Bible said the husband of one wife, okay? So, God can bless you where you are right now. But if you're not married, God wants to bring that special person into your life. He wants to guide you in a career. He wants to guide you where you invest your money. You think God's concerned about that? Yes, he's concerned about that. He's concerned about your retirement, your investment, your children's education. He's concerned about every area of your life. And so God wants to speak into your life. He wants to speak to you and guide you and show you the best pathway for your life. Psalm 32:8 talks about that God will guide you, the Living Bible said, along the best pathway for your life. He will advise you and watch your progress. That's our Heavenly Father. So the gospel should be practical. I'm that type of person. If the Word of God cannot be applied to everyday life, then it's not practical to me. But the Word of God can be applied in every area of life. Your marriage, your family, your kids, your retirement, your occupation. Every area of life. So God is interested in your life, and He wants you to be blessed and succeed so that you can be a greater blessing in the body of Christ. So we know in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, that's not on the screen, but you can look that scripture up. Paul said that godliness is profitable. Profitable. Everyone say profitable. Now the Amplified says, spiritual training is useful in every way and everything, having the promise of this life and the life which is to come. So we have one life, two homes. We have this home, our natural home on this earth, and when this earth suit wears out, we go to our real home, our eternal home, heaven. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Everyone I've talked to that had visions of heaven, their relatives look younger. That gives me hope. This is my personal opinion. It's not in the Bible, so you're under no obligation to believe what I say. But I think we all gravitate to the age of Jesus when he was crucified. He was about 33. That's a good age. We all have our hair and teeth. Good age. Amen. So we'll have a new body, fit for eternity. Hallelujah. I'm always encouraged when Jesus returned in the upper room, first thing he asked for was something to eat. I'm always encouraged by that because I like to eat. So we didn't lose our taste buds when we got a glorified body. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's profitable. Godliness or spiritual training is profitable. That means it profits you. It brings increase into your life. Spiritually and naturally, isn't that right? If you want to profit on your investment, that means you want increase. Is that correct? So godliness or spiritual training profits you. It brings increase into your life spiritually, physically, materially, in every area of your life. And God is concerned about every area of life, this life and the life which is to come. I'm interested in this life. That's where I'm living right now. Are you still here in this life? Okay, good. This life, I'm interested because we have bills to pay, taxes to pay, children and grandchildren to help through college or university or whatever. So I'm interested in this life and God leading me and directing me. You know God can do that? I remember when I was attending Bible school, and most Bible school students years ago, I don't know about now, but years ago, they were on a very tight budget. That means we didn't have a lot of money. And so I remember I wanted a set of commentaries. Back then, you know, we didn't have all the electronic stuff we have today. So physical books. And I wanted a set of Adam Clark's commentaries. You may know that, those commentaries, Pastor. And it was a six-volume set. Adam Clark is a good commentary. So I stopped at this bookstore, and I looked at the price. Not on my budget. Not making two-something an hour back then. Not gonna be able to buy those. So I'm driving from work back to my apartment. I'm in Bible school. And on the inside of me, I don't know how to explain it, and I'm sure you've had this experience. Oh, I wish I would have listened. Or, you know, I had this sensation or feeling or whatever, and I didn't listen to it. Like buying Bitcoin. I didn't have that sensation then. But I did have a sensation to buy Walmart stock, which I didn't back in the 70s. Or Apple stock, which I didn't. So, you know, we have that like, oh, I wish I would have listened. You know what I'm talking about? This an inner sensation, like a mother's tuition, like your mom always knows what you're doing type of thing, right? She knows everything. Come home, I know what you were doing. How do you know that? I just know. So that inner intuition and something on the inside said, stop at this bookstore. And I thought, no, there's no reason. See, immediately we reason. We're a tripart being, spirit, soul, and body. The only part of your makeup that was changed at the new birth was your spirit. Your body didn't change, right? And your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions were not radically changed. That's why you have to renew your mind. And so we reason, we think with our soul. And so I thought to myself, no, I just stopped there 2 days ago. There's no reason to stop again. They don't have anything. I can't afford anything. And so I'm getting closer a second time. I had that sensation. And again, I reasoned in my mind, no, there's nothing there. And a third time. And so now I'm passing by the entrance, and so I thought to myself, well, it wouldn't hurt. I'm right here. So I pulled in and opened the door to the bookstore, and there was a rack. The first thing I saw was a rack that said, for sale. Those are great words for Bible school students, for anybody right now. And I looked down, and there was the set of commentaries. So I picked up one volume, and they had stickers on the inside, reduced, 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 $2.40-some a volume. Now that I can afford. And so I asked the clerk, do you have one complete set? She said, I have one left. Hallelujah. You think God's interested in that? Yes, he is. He's interested in you saving money on appliances, on automobiles, on insurance. He's interested in those things because it affects your life. So how do we hear and follow the voice of God? Real quick, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, if you have your Bibles. If not, it's going to be on the screen. How does God speak to us? The number one way, and always remember this, the Bible is God speaking to you. Isn't that right? The Bible, say this with me, the Bible is God speaking to me. So the Bible is full of words from the Lord. Sometimes, you know, someone will come to me, do you have a word for the Lord for me? I said, yes. Open your Bible. May not be the one you want, but it'll be the one that'll help you. Do we believe the Bible is inspired by God? Authoritative? Infallible? Now, today in theological circles, they're teaching that the Bible contains the Word of God. There's a vast difference between saying that the Bible contains the Word of God and the Bible is the Word of God. Then you can pick and choose what you believe God is saying to you. Right? So those verses you like to read over, love your enemies, those verses. Don't worry, those verses. No, those are God's words speaking to you. Amen. So the number one way God speaks to you is through the Bible. That's number one. So Matthew 4:4, Jesus is having a conversation with Satan, and Satan tempted him, and Jesus responded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, saying what? Every man, or man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word, there it is. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we have a book containing all the words that he wanted us to know that came out of his mouth, and they were written down. Hallelujah. Think about it. If you look in the New Testament, the letters that Paul wrote, Peter wrote, James wrote, John wrote, they were in the process of writing. How did the early church know? They did not have a Bible like we do. So they had to receive teaching, instruction, revelation, knowledge, and the Holy Spirit had to bear witness with their spirit. What they heard was God speaking. We have the written word. So you do not have to pray about anything God says in his word. Husbands, love your wives. You don't have to pray about that. Just act on it. Wives, respect your husbands. You don't have to pray about that. Just act on it. Amen. Now, the problem is sometimes, when it comes to love, there's two kinds of love. There's natural human love and the God kind. And it's kind of like the story, you know, Fred and Martha, when they had back years ago, the husband would go to work with a lunchbox. And so at lunchtime, he opened the box, and there was a note from his wife said, Dear Fred, I hate you. Love, Martha. That's the two kinds of love. People can do things that irritate you, your flesh, your natural man, right? But if you check on the inside, there's something down on the inside, that's the love of God. That's the love of God. And if you listen to that and follow that, you'll walk in love. Amen. And that'll change everything in life. So there's no need to pray about what God says in His Word. So God talks about worry. He talks about stress. He talks about forgiveness. He talks about asking for wisdom. All of these different things that have already been, that belong to us as a result of Christ's redemptive work, they're yours. Yours already. They're a part of your inheritance. You don't have to pray about those things. You believe them and accept them and confess them as realities in your life. Amen? Now, the second way, and this is one I want to spend just a few more minutes with, is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. I'm sure your pastors have covered this, and this message is nothing new, but I like to just reinforce what's been taught. So in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, for as many as are led by what? The 5 o'clock news. Huh? For as many as are led by the internet. For as many as are led by what? Google. Now, don't trust Google. Some people Google everything. They think Google is like God, but Google's not God. It's not infallible. A lot of information out there not factual. So you need to know that, right? When it comes to the Word of God, the Bible is truth. It doesn't contain truth, it is truth. Now, you'll read everything in the Bible, but that's recorded for our benefit. It records everything. God records the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything. And so we learn from things by reading the Old Testament what we should not do. And we learn in the New Testament the new covenant, the new contract God has with us, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do through Christ. So the Bible is truth. Everything in the Bible is truly recorded. Everything. And so the majority of the revelation that affects us is found in the New Testament, primarily in the letters written to the church. So here, the second way God speaks to us is by the Holy Spirit, to our spirit, not to your foot, not to your hand, not to your head, not to your emotions. Some people come to church and they sense the presence of God and they just feel like, you know, they heard God, then they leave and they don't feel like they have anything. My faith is not based on anything other than what God says to me. Not a feeling, not even in a service. Thank God for it. But my faith is not in the anointing. Come on now. My faith is not in a supernatural manifestation. It may confirm what the Word says, and it should. My faith is in what the Word says, or what God is saying to me. Amen. It has to be in the Word of God. There's no way to grow spiritually apart from the Word. Prayer alone will not cause you to grow spiritually. I believe in prayer. I teach a lot on prayer. Worship alone will not cause you to grow spiritually. I believe in worship. I believe we ought to have that. You cannot grow spiritually apart from God's Word. Every word, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. So what bread is to your physical man, God's Word is to your spiritual man. So the second way is, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now notice verse 16. The Spirit Himself, so He's a person, the Spirit Himself does what? Bears witness with what? Our spirit. So you have to identify your spirit. If you do not know you're a spirit, you'll never be led by the Spirit. If you cannot identify your spirit, how can you be led by something you cannot identify? Huh? If you think your spirit is emotion, you'll never hear God. Your emotion changes like the wind. You can be in a conversation with someone, be happy, and all of a sudden someone says something, all of a sudden anger starts coming up. You get emotional. It'll change every 30 seconds, every minute. That's not your spirit, that's your emotion, and your soul is not saved. You have to do something with your soul. Now, I say this to people many, many times because they're looking, they're trying to hear voices or words. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. No, the inner witness is not a voice or words. It is a witness. As a matter of fact, it's not something we would consider vocal or audible. It is something on the inside. The Holy Spirit bears witness. How do you know you're a child of God? I just have this assurance, right? Because I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I confess I accepted him as my Lord. I made him my Lord. I know I'm saved. Something happened on the inside of me. I have a witness on the inside. That's what I'm talking about. That's the inner witness. You don't have to have a vision, a dog, you know, bark at midnight, a chicken crow at 4 a.m. to know you're saved. You know you're saved, right? Now, in the beginning when you got saved, you might have had some doubts because your soul was not saved, so the devil gave you the same thoughts after you got saved that you had before you were saved. But once you got grounded in the Word, you know, I'm saved. You can't get that shaken out of you, right? I know I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. I have a witness, not only the Word, but a witness in my heart. So look at Colossians chapter 3. I like this scripture to define a witness. This is the best, I think, definition in the Word of God that talks about what a witness is. This is Colossians 3:15. Paul said, let the peace of God, everyone say the peace of God. What's the next word? Now that's King James. King James uses the word rule, which is literally the word arbitrator or umpire. An arbitrator and an umpire settles disputes or arguments, right? You have, you know, a football match or a basketball match or a soccer match, and there's a penalty. Here comes the umpire. And he settles the dispute, right? An arbitrator is someone who's brought in when there's two companies or two that are, you know, trying to negotiate or settle something, and they bring this person in to settle the disputes. So he said the peace of God, not natural human peace, not an emotional feeling. Come on now. But the peace of God, which is spiritual, that is what settles all inward questionings. The peace of God. Now, here's the Good News Bible. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. I like that. It is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in one body, and be thankful. So, you know, when we talk about the peace of God, some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're selling a house, you're buying a house, you're selling a business, you're starting a business, you're thinking about moving, and your head says you're crazy. But on the inside, it's like, I don't know, I just got peace. My head says I'm crazy. You been there? I've been there many times. But on the inside, I don't know, it just seems like I have this good sensation or witness on the inside. That's the peace of God. And you cannot be talked out of it by anybody. Regardless of what the circumstances say, you still have that peace. Hallelujah. That is the inner witness. That is the inner witness. Not words, not voices. Now, there is an inner voice. We're not talking about that. There is the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about that. But those methods of guidance don't happen every day. Usually, they only happen when you're about to make a mistake or miss it in life. But in everyday circumstances, something just said, you know, I should just go to Costco today. I don't know why. And you go in and there's an appliance on sale. Huh? You say, well, that's unspiritual. Well, I like appliances on sale. They save me money. You want to pay full price? Go ahead. Right? I mean, you can save things. God will save and bless you if you'll listen. Just have the, I don't know, I just seem like I need to go here. And it could be to witness to somebody. That's happened to me many, many times. I just have to go to this place, and one thing led to the next. There's a person, and I witnessed to that person, and they got saved. Hallelujah. Now, let me just share this with you in closing. Don't get excited and have a long conclusion. Already thinking about lunch. All right. When God speaks, let me give you seven things here. Practical things. I like practical things. How do I apply this? When God speaks, it will always, number one, always agree with God's word. Always. He's not going to tell you to do something that violates the written word of God. Right? That should be common sense. But common sense isn't so common anymore. So it should always agree with the word of God. John 14, 26 says this. John 14, 26. I'll wait till they put it on the screen. I have a different version. But John 14, 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, aren't you glad you have a helper? Whom the Father will send in my name. Now notice, who's going to teach you? Not Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand. He's the head of the church. He's giving direction to the church through the Holy Spirit. He's not personally coming down and talking to you. Now, you can talk to Jesus and fellowship with Jesus, but notice here, Jesus said the Father is sending the Holy Spirit. Why send him if we're not listening? Right? He will teach you how many things? All things. Why? And bring to remembrance all things. Notice that Jesus said, I said to you. So you'll never understand what Jesus said in the Gospels or what Jesus said to the writers of the epistles unless you have the Holy Spirit helping you. If you try to figure it out with your head, you'll mess yourself up and everyone else around you. And that happens all the time. It is the Holy Spirit that is your teacher. So notice, it will always agree with the Word of God because the Holy Spirit will always bear witness with the truth, with the Word of God, always. Number two, when God speaks, it will always agree with your inner witness. We talked about that. Your spirit. Someone prophesies over you and say you should go to Africa. Well, I don't sense that. Maybe Alabama, but not Africa. So, you know, lives have been ruined because people listen to other people and override what their spirit is saying. I've had all kinds of people say things to me in 45 years of ministry, and I can count on one hand how many have been accurate. One hand. Don't you have the Holy Ghost? Huh? Can't God speak to you? So if God speaks through someone, and I've had people speak to me, and it's confirm what God said. I understand that, and there's a place for that. But you have the Holy Ghost. If someone else says something doesn't bear witness with your spirit, forget about it. Forget about it. You go by the inner witness. Are you out there? Number three, when God speaks, it will never violate common sense. Oh, that's a big one. Acts 15, 28. It'll never violate common sense. God's not going to wake, you know, get you up at 2 in the morning, go to your neighbor, knock on the door, and ask for a cup of sugar and witness to him. That's not common sense. Are you out there? I don't know. Some people come to the altar and leave their common sense and then leave after they get saved. Take it with you. Take it with you. It's not going to violate common sense. Are you out there? Acts 15, 28, for it seemed the apostles had a doctrinal dispute, and so they came to a conclusion. And in this verse, it said, verse 28, it said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, now notice, and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. God gave you a head for a reason, right? And so many times, God doesn't have to speak because you're in the will of God. You're doing what he wants you to do. Don't go looking for some voice or some direction. If you're in the will of God, doing what God wants you to do, he doesn't have to speak. You're led by your spirit. You know what to do. You have the word of God on the inside. So here it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And to us. So it's not going to violate common sense. In other words, the apostle said, seemed good to us, and we have a witness from the Holy Spirit, not to lay any more burdens on you concerning these doctrines. Are you out there? All right. Number four, when God speaks, it will never create confusion. It will always bring peace. You know, every time Jesus showed up, he said, be afraid. It's me. No, what did he say? Be of good cheer, or be at peace. He came and he had peace. He always produced peace. Never confusion or fear or doubt, right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, God is not the author of confusion. So if you're confused, you're not hearing God, right? If you're praying about something or thinking about something, trying to make a decision, and you're confused, it's not God. Or someone says something to you that brings confusion, it's not God. Come on now. He's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. Goes back to Colossians 3:15. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. I'm confused. That's not God. I said, that's not God. Number five, when God speaks, it will never cause you to violate the natural duties of life. Your marriage, your family. You know you have natural duties of life? When you get saved, that doesn't mean you can neglect that. Well, I don't need to provide for my family. I don't need to provide for my husband or my wife. No. Read the Bible. If you don't provide for your own household, you're worse than an unbeliever, the Bible says. That always goes over big. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Just shout. Nobody will know it's you. All right. Praise the Lord. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. This is the most incredible act in the New Testament concerning the natural duties of life. You'll never find a greater example in Acts 19, 26 and 27. Jesus was on the cross becoming the sin sacrifice for the world, which we know nothing about. We focus on the beating, which was bad enough. It would have killed a normal person. But the beating was not the real suffering. The real suffering was the spiritual atonement, which we know nothing about. When Jesus was on the cross experiencing this suffering and torment, he had enough consciousness to look down and see his mother. Right? And he said, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. Think about that. I said, think about that. So this incredible act emphasizes the significance of the Christian duty and the value that God places on the care and concern of our family and loved ones. He's watching. He's watching everything we do, and we'll give an account when we stand before him of everything done through this body, whether it be good or bad. Amen. That should motivate us a little bit, right? In a positive way, not in a fearful way or judgmental way. Amen. And God will help you. He'll help you. Number six, when God speaks, it will always bring stability into your life. Always stability. Matthew 7, 24 and 25 talks about the two foundations. And when the rain descended, the floods came, the winds beat upon that house. One fell, one did not. The one that did not was built upon what? The rock. And the rock was, whoever hears my sayings and does them. That's the rock. The hearer and the doer of God's word. It'll always bring stability. Number seven, when God speaks, it will always produce faith. always. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. It will always produce faith. It will always produce confidence. It will always produce ability to do what God is saying to you. Anytime God speaks, never doubt, never unbelief, never fear, never anxiety, always faith. God wants to speak to you. Say this with me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm a child of God. I hear the voice of God. I know the voice of God. I follow the voice of God. You need to say that every day. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.